Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. I am Tim Murdoch.
And I am Matt Emmert. And that was a nice one, Tim.
Was it? Yeah. I wasn't really kooky.
Well, because the last couple beginnings, you've always surprised me with something. And I was actually hoping you wouldn't because, you know, I want to get serious.
About
I want to
what?
Get real serious about life, about this podcast, and about this friendship.
You know what? I was hoping you'd sign a friendship contract.
Yeah. The friendship contract is going to say, you owe me money. And
every day of the week.
Every day of the week. And if you want to hang out with me forever, you need to wear pink on Wednesdays. What's that from?
Oh, Gladiator.
Never heard of it. So how have you been, Tim?
I'm doing really good. Today is the hottest day of the year.
And you know, I just want to say that when this episode comes out, it'll be just a number of days after we will have released to the public, Tim, drum roll. Our short film,
Come In.
Yes.
Come In.
If you've been a diehard listener of Happy Horror Time, years ago, before we had relaunched and we're just fucking around, we used to talk about Come In, which was a short film that I wrote and directed and Tim and I put together, and Tim was the main star in.
Oh,
and
you're too kind.
Well, it's the truth. I didn't say you were good.
Oh.
I was like, you're the main star. Oh, you're so kind. Horrible.
Listen,
just kidding, no.
It was hard to hold a whole film on my shoulders.
Oh, it was hard to hold a whole what? Sorry?
A whole film.
Oh, no, it's true. We for people who don't know, and the people who do are going to be rolling their eyes.
Oh, they're like, oh God, speed it up and get to Morbius.
What happened? I know, right? I know. Tim and I, since we've been horror fans our whole life, we were like, what if we just made a horror film, but not a full one, because that is
right.
Too
well,
hard.
I said, Matt, what do you think about 90 minutes?
And I said, hey, Tim, what do you think about 9 minutes? No. It ended up being 15 minutes long. We came up with the idea together. I wrote a script and we assembled a crew. We got actors. We got camera people.
We called in all our favors.
Literally. We contacted every person we knew, right? I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
No, we really did.
Every person we knew in the industry, not in the industry, actor, not actor. And we assembled
models?
A crew. I mean, we were models.
Well,
so.
Of course. Models, no. Citizens.
I contacted Tim's agent and they were like, please.
They were like, nothing under 20 thou.
And I was like, hey, how about a 20 bucks? Yeah. No, and we put
did
it together.
Did CAA put you on hold long?
Oh, no, but SAG was like, hey, are you paying everyone SAG rate? And I was like, what's that?
I said, what's the Screen Actors Guild?
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
no.
Matt.
No, so we filmed it in, God, it's been a while. We filmed it in December of 2018.
So I'm 19, 20, 21, 22. I am 4 years older.
Well, it was December, so like three
and
a half.
Oh, that's true.
Three and a half.
But
close enough. And then we finished it and premiered it in March of 2019. So
we had a premiere where I started crying.
Oh my God, it was so nice. If you, like, maybe we can post this somewhere, but like we did... we rented out a small little black box theater and we invited all of our friends. I still remember that. That was so much fun.
It
like
was
friends,
so much,
family.
And we made people dress up like it was the Oscars minus a slap.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
we
my
had,
God.
Yeah, I know. Oh, timely. But we had I was about to call it a fucking rinse and repeat. It's a step. We had a step and repeat.
What's a rinse and repeat?
What you do in the shower?
Ew.
I don't know. No. Okay. I always call it a step and repeat with our poster. We had a poster. We had everything. We had everyone dressed like it was
a
Hollywood
poster,
premiere.
By the way.
The poster who was designed by my good friend Rufino, and who also designed the app. But anyway, we had a premiere. It was like a little Hollywood thing. We had champagne, remember?
Yes.
Care of your brother.
I know. That was very generous of Jamie Murdoch. I don't think my brother's listened to one podcast.
Well, he should, because we're giving him a shout out. You can tell him, because he bought us all champagne and we showed the movie and it was really nice. But anyway, after that, for the next year, we went into a bunch of horror and LGBTQ film festivals.
It was so much fun. How many think we actually physically went to?
We must have gone to like 7 or 8.
That was so much fun. And to see ourselves on a big 35mm screen was a blast.
Some of the film festivals were in actual movie theaters. So like we were watching our film like on a movie.
Yeah,
it was cool.
It blew my mind just to, because I love the score. I love everyone in it. I mean, of course I'm a little biased.
Well, of course, but it turned out really well. And what happened was then the pandemic hit and like we stopped doing film festivals. And then after a while we were like, you know what, why don't we just finally, we were holding off on putting it on YouTube because the second you do that and it's available to the public, you can't put it in film festivals because they'll be like, it's
available. I mean,
available.
I'm sure you could if you didn't say
just
anything.
Just lied. Yeah.
But we're not,
I'm an honest.
Yeah, we can't lie.
So we decided as a little birthday present to Tim that on April 19th, we were going to post the movie on YouTube for everyone to see. So
yeah, because we were offered from Netflix, Amazon Prime, Uncut Gems.
So many offers. Uncut Gems, they were there. No, Shudder wanted to release
it. It was a bidding war.
Oh my God, Blumhouse was calling me every day. I was like, Jason, Blum, enough, okay? Jamie Lee Curtis wanted to star in the sequel.
She was like, she goes, oh my God, this film called Everywhere Anything.
She was like, the trauma in this movie, if I can deal with the trauma, remember that?
Trauma.
Jordan Peele wanted to turn it into a trilogy.
And I said, nope.
That was a good one. Sorry. Woo, that was good, too.
Thank you.
Anyway, so
I said, nope. To us.
And then you're like, get out.
Right.
wait, you said, nope, to us, get out.
Yeah.
And then Jordan was like, okay, I'm never talking to you guys
What's
again.
What's his most famous movie that he's done? Like,
Get Out.
He's, no. I mean, like, as an actor.
Oh, he's in a lot of comedy.
I need
stuff,
one. Just give me one.
I don't know, but now I've lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you look it up on your phone.
I'm busy looking at your face.
So anyway, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, so it is on YouTube now, so anybody can see it. We'll post a link, or we probably have already posted about it by now.
And if you've already seen it, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you leave a comment, say that Matt and I deserve Oscars.
Exactly. I mean, here's the thing. It's meant to be like almost like a throwback to like 70s, 80s slashers with like a modern gay twist. Did you hear what I did there?
Oh, yeah, because we're gay in it.
Oh, get it. Yeah. But I will say, if you're watching it on YouTube, obviously, it's not going to be the same effect as if you're in like a theater in the dark watching it.
But this is the way I recommend. You blow it up on your big screen because you can watch YouTube on your TV.
Good point. Turn the lights off. Turn it up loud. Watch it on a big screen because otherwise, imagine this. Take the scariest movie you've ever seen and imagine watching it on YouTube. It's not going to be as fucking scary as it was. So
if you're by yourself.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, watch it on your computer. It's not going to be as scary.
Watch it on your phone.
Don't watch it on your phone. No. And
that's not safe for work.
No.
It's not, because Matt wrote a line where I had to say the F word. And to this day, I'm furious.
Tim still goes to communion. That's not even
Isn't that a movie starring Christopher Walken?
No. What is it? You still go to confession.
Confession. I go, like Mary Lou.
That's how you're like, a wop bop a loo bop. No, Tim goes to confession and he says, and I liked it.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Come In is the name of the short. It's a short little slasher. We're in it. It's our pride and joy, and hope you guys enjoy it. And that's it.
And you can see what we look like 3.5 years ago.
I know, much better.
Oh, God.
Well, it was before the pandemic, so we were probably both 20 pounds lighter.
Right. I was like, those pandemic LBs.
I know, exactly. Good anyway. Times. Speaking of nothing having to do with that, on to our movies.
Yeah, let's start them.
We are, the first movie we saw was a big, big blockbuster release. And at first, we didn't know if this was the right type of movie for the podcast because it's not like straight horror, but it is horror tones. And it was just, it's been advertised for so long and
I felt like I watched the trailer for like 2.5 years.
Seriously, I've been watching that trailer for a million years and it's Morbius. And I know you probably are thinking, if you're listening, wait, isn't that like a Marvel movie? Yes, it is. Well, it's Sony Marvel,
According to our friend Joe
Bandelli.
Thank you. It's like the 28th Marvel film.
I mean, I have no idea because we've seen maybe four.
We're not fact-checking.
Yeah, we are not fact-checking. But what I will say is that it looked very dark and it looked like it was a vampire movie. And even though we knew it was Marvel and stuff like that, we were like, it does feel very horror thriller. And we were like, let's see it and talk about it.
It's a man that's living off blood. So yeah, that's
horror. You're right. That's horror. That's horror. So it stars the one and only Jared Leto.
From My So-Called Life, Urban Legend.
And
some Oscar films that I don't know.
Dallas Buyers Club, Here's the thing about Jordan Leto.
You said Jordan Leto.
Oh my God, Jordan Catalano, Jared Leto. Okay, to me, Jared Leto is kind of like Johnny Depp. I feel he is sexy, actually. Jared Leto is sexy.
I think
but
Jared Leto is 1,000 times sexier than Johnny Depp.
I think, yes, I agree. But he just always, whenever I see him, he always just seems weird. And every character he plays is like, it just reminds me of Johnny Depp. It's either really creepy or really odd.
Like,
and he's odd.
Like,
he just doesn't seem like someone I want to like
hang out with. No.
I
like Jared Leto. I think he's sexier than Johnny Depp, but I feel like he just tries too hard. He doesn't need to.
I just feel like whenever I see him ever, like outside of a movie, he just seems like he has no personality.
Okay, if you didn't have a boyfriend and he cornered you in a club and he suddenly wanted to go out with you, would you say yes?
maybe like a one night stand. I couldn't imagine hanging out with him.
Five night stand.
Because like, what would you talk about the next day with him? He'd be like,
I'd talk about like Urban Claire Legend. Danes.
No. But that's the thing. He's so far removed from the things we loved
reality.
Him in. Well, probably that too. But like, he's so far removed from my so-called life and Urban Legend that he would probably like laugh
I think when someone's a rock star, what's the name of his group? 60 Seconds to Mars?
30 Seconds to Mars. Yours is you to double the time. It's yeah. Wait, what's the name of his group? A Minute and a Half to Mars?
The name of the group? 30 Seconds to Tuesday?
I don't know. 30 Seconds to My So-Called Life? Yes, that's say. Yeah. No, if he was more like the, I don't know, even in my so-called life, he was weird. He's just always weird.
No, you know what it is? It's that moody, distraught, what's the word? Like, oh, man.
Angsty.
That's the word.
But like, he's almost 50. You can't be angsty anymore.
He's got 50 angst.
Well, it's just, anyway, but enough with Jordan Leto. Let's get to the movie.
Okay, one last thing. Oh. Did you see what he wore to the Morbius premiere?
No, and I'm not going to hate him more for it.
It was like no shirt and like just a jacket. So I will say he's got pecs for days.
He is a sexy man, but like the personality of like my left pinky.
Well, I want to meet your left
pinky. But you probably could be, here's the thing. Maybe I don't know him intimately. Hey. So maybe
to.
He is. I'm just talking about what I see in public. But because the only reason I say that, I've got to defend myself right here, because there are some celebrities that you know are just like dripping with personality, like Jennifer Lawrence. Like every time she's in an interview, she's so funny and charismatic, and I just love
her.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Jared Leto's never been in a comedy.
But they probably don't want him in it. Like, he'd probably make fun of it or be, I don't know.
I wanted him in, like, Girl Boss or Girls Trip.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anything with Girl in it.
Yeah,
Girl Interrupted.
Girl Interrupted. He actually isn't Girl Interrupted.
Oh, wait a second. He isn't Girl Interrupted. I should probably see that.
I know, me too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How did you know that?
I cannot believe we've... Well, I know things.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Anyway, let's set up Morbius. Okay. So, the beginning of it, it's a really big scene where it's like, he's a doctor who is...
Well, he's a child first.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He's not instantly a doctor.
Well, no, but it flashes back. Remember, the very first scene is...
I'm sorry, I apologize.
You messed me up. No. So he's a doctor, Dr. Michael Morbius, and he has a blood disorder which causes him to be very weak, and he can't walk without these two, like, almost like crutch-type things that he uses for his arms. And he is in Costa Rica with a team, and all, like, the whole opening scene is just, he's really intrigued by bats, and he, like, cuts his hand, and, like, the blood attracts all these bats.
But, you know,
that's
I will
it.
Say this. They landed in a helicopter, but I think it was a soundstage. I'm obsessed with that.
You are so obsessed with that, and you're probably
right.
I'm
like, it wasn't on an island.
Wait, you don't think they flew to Costa Rica
for
a two-minute scene?
I don't think they did.
Definitely not. Were all the bats real? Probably 10 of them were.
Yeah, maybe.
And then they CGI'd everything. Anyway, then it quickly flashes back to him as a kid, and you see he was in like a special home?
Yeah, and like he called it an oil change. Like they have to take his blood out and then have to put
it
back in.
It reminded me of almost like people who have to do like kidney dialysis, and that just must be so like
frustrating. Did he have to do it every day?
I think it depends on the severity of the kidney illness. Some people maybe, but whatever blood disorder he had to do it multiple times a day. Like, he called it an oil change for himself. And he meets another kid in there.
His name is Milo, and he's so sweet.
Well, the funny thing is his name, and I figured this out, his name is actually Lucien, but he nicknames
him. Oh, Lucille
him,
Ball?
His name's Lucille Ball. Lucille, I just said Lucy O'Ball, like she's an O-hyphen ball. No, his name is Lucien, and he calls him Milo because Milo was the name of the first kid that he used to
remember. He also liked Milo and Otis.
He did. That was exactly the reason. Yeah. He was like, so he calls him Milo, and for some reason the kid's like, okay, I'll just go with it. And they become like friends for life. They both have blood disorders.
I was hoping they'd grow up and be gay lovers, but
I mean, it's Marvel. It'll be a while
before that. There's an undertone.
They do. They are very close. And then there's like the father figure at the place that they're at who sticks with them.
Kind of like, what's that other Batman?
Like Alfred.
Yes, he was a total Alfred, but he was like a Dr. Alfred.
Yes, it was. And then it switches back to Dr. Morbius now, and he's
got long hair, which is gross,
which is totally Jared Leto. I don't know if the comic had that, but like, or if the comic, because this was a comic character, it was an actual character, and who knows, I feel like maybe that's a Jordan Leto touch, maybe it was how the character looked,
right? Like I've never read, I mean, I love that we're talking about a movie where we don't read the comics.
By the way, here's the thing, if you think that we are unprepared for most of our episodes, when it comes to Marvel, we are unfucking prepared.
Like, I know that... Oh, God, I'm not even going to pretend like I know anything.
You're like, hey, is Batman Marvel? No, Tim.
It's not. Well, Michael Keaton was in it. Spoiler.
Well, so Dr. Michael Morbius, he's developed some synthetic, like, thing for blood, and he won, like a Pulitzer or a Nobel Prize, and he has his colleague, which is obviously his love interest, and her name is...
She's so pretty, and I really like her.
She really is pretty. Her name is Martine Bancroft.
Does it say in front of you what else she's been in?
Martine, or the woman who plays her, it's Adria Arjona, and she was, she played the role of Dorothy Gale in the Oz book adaptation Emerald City, and she was in the TV adaptation of Good Omens. Never seen either.
Yeah, I was like, I thought she looked familiar. Remember that one show about, not Desperate Housewives, anyways...
What would you thought she looked like?
I
someone...
thought she was in another show that I watched. Never remember. Anyway.
You're like, moving on.
Moving on.
Well, so Dr. Morbius, he's done this, but he also is secretly like coming up with some formula where he's mixing the vampire bat blood, because he took some vampire bats from Costa Rica, with like human blood to come up with some like combination thing that'll cure his disease.
Right. So he spins it around, and then suddenly they have to do research on a big ship.
Well, I think the reason they go to the big ship is because he decides that he's going to do an experiment on himself with it, and obviously that wouldn't be allowed, like, just to do human experiments like that. So he takes the ship to international waters, where I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when you like do something that may be illegal on international waters, like, I don't know what country you're breaking the law
with.
I'm glad
you caught on to that. I was just like, oh,
you thought they just went
ship.
Like
I was like, oh, they're on a ship. Okay,
like,
I just accepted it.
They felt like cruising.
I was like, but the people that are guarding the scientists are such a-holes. Yes. Like, what are you doing down here?
Every ass, they take the worst guards on the ship, and it's him and the female doctor, and he is going to do the experiment on himself, and they're all assholes. Well,
the way that he was speaking to the girl, it was like, I thought I was watching like a 1950s movie. I was just like, he goes like, what did he say? It was just all wrong.
Oh, wait, the way Morbius was?
No. Like, when the guard comes
downstairs.
Oh, yes,
because
like,
they can't imagine that a woman is
a
doctor. They are definitely, all the guards were like out of a 1950s war movie.
So he takes the shot.
Yes, and he starts to he has like a seizure,
right.
Crazy.
And then she looks back and he's not in the chair.
No, and he has now morphed into some sort of vampire hybrid
it's
of himself.
Good. I mean, I don't know if it was makeup or CGI face or a combination
of CGI.
Both. There was a couple times where I think it was his real face.
Well, what happened is, since I heard that Jared Leto is method, he actually did inject himself with vampire blood.
I mean, I did too before I sat down.
And turned into a vampire.
Right.
Is that why you were trying to bite my neck? So what happens is he literally, he can't control himself, and he rips apart every one of the guards.
Right, and he drains their blood dry.
And he does not...
Which is suspicious.
Yes, he does not murder the woman doctor, because he, I guess, was able to contain himself.
Yeah, like, how did he have the self-control to, like, suck everyone's blood but not hers?
That's why you can't ask questions like that, because I was wondering that, too. You're right, because I was wondering it, too. What I will say, I really quickly want to say this, that this being a PG-13 movie...
Was it PG-13?
Yes, you don't see any of the violence.
Really,
and again, I don't want to pretend like I'm some gore hungry like weirdo. Like, I actually don't like seeing too much gore, but if it's so PG-13 that like you see someone swipe at you and then you don't see what happens, then it's like so cheesy. And that's how all of the kills were in
this. I mean, there was one time where because they do show that he grows claws it looked more like a werewolf than a vampire, but what are you gonna do? And like, he slashes this guy's face, but it was in the dark. I was like, oh, it's like, why is that a cop out?
Okay, and can we talk about when he turns into the vampire version of himself, that he looks exactly like the creepy creature in Malignant?
Yes,
remember when the woman grows the guy out of her head. He looks like Malignant. So I kept saying during the movie, I was like, look, it's the killer from Malignant.
I don't think the studios compared notes because we saw it.
You don't think Marvel watches Malignant?
They were like, hey, what's Malignant doing over there?
They're like, what the fuck is Malignant? So he kills all the guards, but he leaves her, and then he disappears because he just killed a bunch of guards and it was on camera.
He jumped on... I actually started laughing. Like, they showed him like it was like a shadow jumping into the water. I'm like, oh, okay, he can swim.
Yeah, and so you find out that he finally like kind of subsides and goes back to his like human self, but you see, and I love this scene,
he's got pecs for days.
Yeah, suddenly remember when he was like ill for his whole life with his blood disease,
pale.
He was pale and really deathly skinny, and now he's like buff and, you know, like tan, and he's strong, and he has like these ears that he can hear like a bat, like he can hear every reverberation.
He can hear everything from like eight towns away.
Basically, yeah. So he starts getting like they're hunting after him, and so what happens is that like his friend Milo, who's also like grown up, finds out that he has like gotten this cure, and he, even though Morbius tells him like no, it turns you into a monster, Milo still wants it.
And it was so weird. Are you talking about the scene when they're talking at the bench at the park?
I think, yeah. Well,
that scene in particular for me was so crazy because they were filming like behind their heads. There was never just a straight camera in their face. Did you notice that?
I did notice. I thought, and maybe this is just because I'm gay,
right?
But like, did you notice that every time Milo and Dr. Morbius would talk to each other, they were so close that they almost looked like they were gonna kiss? Like,
yes,
it was just
that's what I mean. The only reason I said like, what is it? Are they gonna grow up and be lovers? Because they talk so close.
Everything. Then, like, I mean, we don't talk that close.
No, you're way over there. I'm way over here.
I was just thinking if, like, I met you in a park and we were talking like that, like, it looks like they're going
like,
to make out.
Back up.
Back the fuck up. Seriously, like, they don't have personal space issues.
No, none.
None at all.
I thought that was a friendship choice.
Yeah. Maybe we're supposed to, I don't know. We're probably looking too into it.
We are.
Milo wants his cure. But anyway, Morbius goes to the hospital and there's this one scene, I'd say probably the most suspenseful scene of the movie with the nurse.
Yes, yes.
And it was very like Lights Out, where the lights in the hallway keep
coming on.
Reminded
me of Halloween 2, 1981.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Rob Zombies. Lights are coming on and a nurse is being chased by like a figure and you think it's Morbius, and then like it gets her and like bites her and drains her blood and kills
her. So here's the big twist of the movie.
It wasn't Morbius. It was Milo, because Milo He got the cure and took it even though the serum and took it even though Morbius warned him not to.
And
so
his reason for justifying it is because like, hey, we've had to walk on like crutches our whole life.
Yeah, like,
we deserve this.
Exactly. Well, Morbius gets framed. He's in jail, and when Milo visits him, he tells him that he took the cure, and they get in this huge fight. And what I love about this is that I will say what made this like so like beyond anything I could even believe, other than the fact that it's vampires and serums, but
is that
Morbius, like, he's able to break out of jail, like literally he just like bangs the wall and it's not like, meaning they have such super strength from this like serum.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the rules are. I mean, I do know that like a silver bullet kills a vampire and like, so
a
like,
werewolf.
Oh, did I say it? Oh my God. Apparently
you
I
don't
know
nothing. That rule.
No. So, okay. Let me get this straight. A stake through the heart is a vampire.
By traditional terms, yes.
Right. Okay, so all the rules for Morbius, I didn't know.
I mean, I figured it was sort of normal vampire, but at the same time, they were so inhumanly strong and they could fly. It got to be like, it was what, well, first off,
it
like,
was cartoony.
It did get a little cartoony. Like, after Morbius breaks out of jail and he's like trying to hunt Milo down, because he starts realizing Milo is killing people just for like the fun of it, because he can and
yeah,
he has
like,
the strength.
Likes blood. And there is one scene where like he's dancing and he's shirtless.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
my favorite scene in the movie, by the way.
Other than the one when Jared Leto's shirtless?
Well,
like two favorites.
But you know what? I liked Milo's scene better because it was well lit when he had his nice shirt off.
Yeah,
shirtless,
no,
shirtless,
they looked good. I mean, they obviously, the actors were told like, hey, you got to look strong, so you better buff
up. I wonder if Milo had like enhanced CGI. I'm curious.
When he was just shirtless?
Yeah.
Probably not for that, because the one thing that I will say they didn't do, which is good, is they didn't look like Hulkish when they were.
Right.
They just looked buff, you know?
And you know what? Jared Leto's 50? Is he 50?
50
49?
Now? Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
I think he's 50.
I want to look that good in 5 years.
Well, they did look good. I mean, if you're being paid to look good, you'll
look
that good.
True. No
yeah.
one's paying me.
Exactly.
I'm just looking good for free.
I mean, exactly. But you know what? We all, it's like you're paying us.
Right.
Tim, because we get to look at
you. Guys, because I can't see myself unless I run to reflections. And I can't,
except for that
I can't
whole
that
invention called a mirror.
Right, right, right. And, I mean,
you're
I
like, I don't keep him in my house because I don't want to make my roommate jealous.
Right.
Because
he would be so jealous.
So jealous. So there are a bunch of scenes where Morbius is trying to fight down Milo, who's just killing people. So it's almost like Morbius becomes kind of like the good vampire and Milo is the bad one, and they become
enemies.
He
tries to frame Morbius like, look what he just did.
Yeah, and then they have all these fights where literally it's getting so out of hand that they're both like flying through the air. They're fighting and you can't really see what's happening because it's going so quickly. It's total chaos.
I'm like, I guess this is, it's just a full-blown cartoon.
Again, maybe it's because I'm not used to Marvel movies.
And plus
we
were in an IMAX theater.
Well, it was IMAX, which meant it was even more heightened. Like, I'm talking like craziness,
like
chaotic mess.
I honestly, when we got out to the theater, my My ears were ringing. I think I had a tiny headache.
It was so much, but like things this movie, I know exactly things old people say. Well, it's it's just like what happens is like for the rest of the movie now, like Morbius knows he has to stop Milo because he's just killing people, and Milo is trying to like toy with him, and Milo goes back to the older guy who was like the father figure,
kills him.
Yeah, well, he kills him because the father figure is trying to tell him to stop. You know, you're going crazy, and like lets him or slices him and makes him call Morbius so Morbius can come there and see him die. That's real nice.
Yeah, I was like, this is dark.
And Morbius then decides, he comes up with this, because you can make this so quickly,
right?
Figures out this other serum that will
cure for COVID.
Cure for COVID. No. Brilliant scientist. Can't do that. But he can counteract whatever they've turned into and it'll kill them. And he says to the female doctor, he's like, you know, I'm going to kill Milo and then I basically have to kill myself.
Okay, like Milo bit her, right?
Well, I mean, if we're skipping to the ending, I guess. No. So, yeah. So after a bunch of chaos,
right.
Milo, like, has a struggle with her. And, no, Milo, I think, like, attacks her.
This is old school killer.
He leaves her for dead. And when Morbius finds her, she's already dying. And she says, you know, like, she says something like, you know, make my death mean something, oh, aka so drink my blood.
Right. So he did do that, right?
He did. But she bites his lip
right
before she died and drinks a little bit of his blood. And that comes to play because at the end, she wakes up and she's a vampire.
But they didn't really show her. We didn't see her in full form.
Well, she just opens her eyes and they look red, so you can tell she's okay, going to be a vampire.
I was like, where's this going? I was like, is this going to come back to us?
Well, it's like, so there's this big, chaotic ending, climactic battle where they're just like flying through the sky and blah, 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 and bats are released and everything. And finally,
that went on a little long.
Very long. And then Morbius stabs Milo with the serum or stump. And then Milo, right at the very end, he's like, but I thought we were friends or something. Remember right. What is he's
friends
dying?
Friends to
like,
the end, you, Chucky. You,
I know. Basically, you can't terrorize someone and at the very end be like, but wait.
But he looks super cute with his hair and his suit.
He looks super cute as he was right. dying.
And
yeah.
You know what? If you look super cute, I wouldn't kill you.
You wouldn't kill me. Well, good. Good to know. Good to know. The funny thing is though, at the very end, remember, Morbius has said he's going to take the serum too, because here, even though, yes, he's sort of good, he can't control his bloodlust. And what I mean is that when he gets hungry, he has to drink some sort of blood, synthetic or something, and he knows that he's a dangerous society. So instead of killing himself, though, he just kind of flies really far away.
Right.
And then here's the weird kicker about Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah. So then like he's in a jail cell and like all of a sudden he's like, how'd I get here? And our friend tried to explain to us, Joe, that it's from a different time.
I'm going to explain this so badly, and I'm looking at Wikipedia, but Michael Keaton, the character he played in one of the Spider-Man movies,
Mr.
or the
Mom.
Most recent one, was Mr. Mom. No, he played Adrian Toomes? Toomes? Toomes?
Sure.
Oh, my God. Anybody who likes Marvel is going to hate us.
I know. If you love Marvel, turn it off.
I apologize, but in our defense, like, we aren't happy Marvel time, you know what I mean? So, anyway, apparently, we were told that he was a character from the last Spider-Man movie, when the whole like metaverse whatever happened, he ended up into this jail cell and he breaks out and he thinks that Morbius is going to be like a villain with him. And at the very end, like in the post-credit scene, he's like, so are we going to form a team?
A lot of post-credit.
Yeah, he's like, are we going to form
Marvel
a team?
Marvel people love the post-credit.
They love it. And so that was the movie. Here's the thing. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I know we've kind of been making fun of it, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I thought Jared Leto was cute. I thought the music was good. I'm serious.
I'm sorry. I have to say, like, you have the funniest reasons for liking a movie. Like, it'll be like, I enjoyed eating popcorn.
Which, by the way, was gone before the movie even effing started.
It always happens with me with snacks. You know, here's the thing. I actually... It kept my interest, as weird as it is to say. I just wasn't really that invested, but no. I wasn't bored.
No, I definitely wasn't bored. And being in IMAX, like, it was definitely stimulating all my senses.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it 4D? Or did you wish you had 4Ds around you?
Yeah.
Get it?
All the above.
Yeah. I just, it's like, it, look. What I had suspected ended up coming true. It wasn't like our type of movie, to
no.
be honest.
I mean, but I was like, I never was bored. And how long was the movie? Was it 2 hours? I don't know.
Hour 45.
I wasn't ever bored. And you know, and the movie's made $90 million so far.
Look, the friend we were with, Joe, who loves Marvel, absolutely hated this movie. Now that doesn't mean every Marvel fan's gonna hate it, but what I will say is it hasn't
just
been getting
his chance to ever work at Marvel. Like,
well, no, just this movie. He loves all the other Marvel movies, but or some of them. But all I know is it hasn't been getting great reviews. Now, again, we're not the core fan base here, so if we didn't love it, that's not a big problem. But what I will say is if the Marvel fans aren't loving it, that is a problem.
Right. Well, you know, 90 million ain't too shabby.
Well, but I mean, like, that's like a, you know, it's like the next Avatar. It could probably suck and it's still going to make 200 million. Like, it's just like people are just going to see it.
That's what movies are about.
Money.
Yeah.
It just hasn't done so well in terms of reviews. But in money, I think it's done pretty well, especially in like post-pandemic times. But was it scary? Truthfully, the only scene I found suspenseful was the scene with the nurse when the lights were going off and on.
I definitely wasn't scared at all. And I thought that I really liked the music in it.
It just was, it wasn't ever creepy. For a movie that had a vampire aspect to it, it focused more on over-the-top CGI
right. And you know
than
what?
Suspense.
I almost wish it would have gone just the extra mile, made it rated R, and just shown us all the blood.
I agree, 100%. Because, again, when every kill scene, you barely even see what's happening. You're like, okay, was this for kids? Like, I mean, violence was tapered down.
There were some scenes I was like, is this for kids or is this for me? And I guess it was for me because there was lots of shirtless men.
Oh, two. Two shirtless
well,
men.
Well, that's all I need.
But I mean, like, I guess the performance is like, I hate to say it, but I guess Jared Leto did well. I think the guy who played Milo did well. Yeah. The female doctor was great. Like, the performances were pretty good. Yeah. And it was just, but again, I think they could have dialed down the CGI and chaos about 20%.
That's what Marvel is, though.
But like maybe just 20%.
No.
Dial it up.
They want it through the roof. They want the bodies flying into buildings.
It just, so, I mean, again, it wasn't as dark and horror as I was thinking it would be by like the trailer. It really did feel just like superhero with a slightly dark twist. Didn't it feel like that to you?
Yeah, but I mean, I like superhero. My favorite is what's the one that Billy Zane was in when he was like purple?
Purple.
He was like wearing the purple costume, and Christy Swanson was in it.
Oh,
the Phantom.
God.
I like 1996.
Oh,
the Phantom.
God.
That's my
That's
favorite.
That's your favorite? Yeah, you know how many people would agree with you about that being the 0%. Best superhero movie? Yeah, no. Zero.
My favorite superhero movie is probably like Howard the Duck.
Oh, God, he's a superhero.
Yeah, he's a cute duck.
Totally. No, I mean, like some of the Marvel movies are really good. I've seen some. Like some of the Iron Man movies have been good.
Saw,
some of the Captain America movies.
I think I saw Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly. I think I did too. But anyway, I mean, look, would I recommend this for our horror loving audience that thinks this is going to be like a horror version of Marvel?
If you like popcorn.
That's Tim's answer. Mine would be probably not. If you're a Marvel person, I would 100% give it a chance. If you're a superhero movie person, I would give it a chance. If you're looking for a true scary horror movie, this is not the movie.
No, skip the Nenar next one.
Yeah. But speaking of movies that totally, well, actually, I'm going to challenge calling this next one a horror movie versus like a cat and mouse thriller. So
it definitely shifts gears halfway through.
Yeah. So the movie, we also wanted to do like a smaller release. We kind of like to do, sometimes we find like a big, you know, studio release and maybe a more independent film or something foreign or something different.
I don't think this movie's going to make 90 million.
I don't. Yeah. Well, it's called Midnight and it is a South Korean horror film. And we saw the trailer for it and it looked really good, about like a serial killer starring one of the guys from Squid Game, which I absolutely loved. And Tim still hasn't seen.
Listen, I got to watch like stuff with Amy Schumer.
Oh, God. So it's called Midnight and it's on demand. And it is about a deaf woman and her mom who are basically being hunted by a serial killer. But let's start from the beginning.
Purpose.
Yeah.
But like, so the beginning of the movie is like, it starts off kind of like,
it has
Scream.
A nice opening scene.
Yeah, I mean, she's not Drew Barrymore, but I mean, like,
she's
taking a call, like, in an alley, and, like, he's in a big van with this purple light, and it looks like it's the kind of van that picks up dry cleaning.
Yeah, because there's
all
this clothes, yeah.
And he pulls a Betsy Palmer, a.k.a. Friday 13. She goes, help me.
Well, he's luring her in by doing, like, almost like a different voice and, like, pretending to be help me, and when she goes to look for help, she sees that someone is dead in the the van and the killer was doing the voice, so then he kills
her. He beats his head out and he's wearing a pandemic mask out of all masks.
Wait, but it's not, but nobody else is. So that's right, like, so his, just kinda like, he's just a very protective killer.
He is.
So here's the thing. Right away, what I will say is, although the setup of the opening scene was good, it's in a dark alley. She's like walking there. She's being lured there.
And I thought the guy, when he pulled up, I was like, oh, he's super nice. Get in that car. You're in a dark alley.
But that's what I was just going to say. The setup of the opening scene was very suspenseful and good. Right when I saw that the killer was a young, good-looking guy, like, I just instantly wasn't afraid of him.
Remember that movie that I showed you called, I want to say 10 to Midnight, or Midnight to 10?
Yes, when he's naked doing all the killings.
He's like
a
good-looking, and it's kind of the same thing.
The thing you get, and I got a little bit lost, because the actor who plays him, the guy from Squid Game, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name correctly, it's Wai Hyun Yi. And he is a very good-looking 30-year-old man who also just looks like a nice guy. So having him not saying his performance wasn't good, because it was, but I just, right from the onset, he didn't look like a creepy killer.
Oh,
so it
really?
Didn't scare
I thought
me.
It made it creepier because he was a good-looking guy. Because then I was like, oh, because then, you know, anyone could be a killer. I mean, like me, for instance.
That would be unexpected.
Right.
No, I guess so. Yes, to your point, in the unexpected surpriseness of this, yeah, that is scary. But I'm talking like, I don't know, I guess I like my killers under a mask.
Well, he was wearing a medical mask.
A pandemic mask, no. I mean, I guess something about not knowing right. what the person looks like, that scares
me. Well,
his
power, like Freddy's in your dreams, Jason's in the woods, his was blending in with everybody. And his idea was like... Like, throughout the entire movie, I'm kind of giving something away a little early, but his thing is like, hey, look, I'm blending in, and like, smirk, like,
no,
I got
you're right,
you.
You're right.
Like, well, that was his whole thing.
That's true, and they don't, there's no, what I do respect right from the onset of this movie is that there's no whodunit aspect to it right away. You know who the killer is, so they're not trying to do anything like that, and they're not trying to make him, like, not human. He's just a guy, no explanation. He's literally just going around hunting down people, and not even just women, because the first victim who's in the car as a man, you only see him hunt after women, but he, no reason.
And the movie does a really good job of introducing a brother and a sister and a mother and a daughter.
Yes.
And so you instantly fall in love with them, and like, you know, because they're being introduced, like they're going to fall prey to this
killer.
Exactly.
And you're wondering, how do they connect? Because it's two separate families. It's a mother, daughter, and the mother and daughter are both deaf. So you're introduced to the daughter.
And you know, that's something you don't see in horror films.
I was saying, other than Hush, which was an incredible movie that came out like 5 years ago or something, where a deaf woman was being hunted by a mass killer.
And we also
hadn't seen that.
Right.
Before.
And we also saw that movie recently where the girl was blind and she was house sitting.
See for Me. Yes.
See for Me. Yes. So it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, that I feel like was more about the app that was doing it than her being blind. But you're right.
So like someone being stalked that can't see or hear.
And what I will say is it adds a layer of fear to it, because it's bad enough if you're being hunted by someone, but if you don't have one of your senses, whether it's sight or hearing, or, well, I guess taste wouldn't really matter.
My killers.
You always
I'm going to make a
them.
Kiss My Killer short
how
film.
No, how about Taste My Killer?
Ooh, Taste My Killer. That's a different kind of film.
Well, so there's the deaf girl and her mom, who, and they're both deaf, and they do sign language. And unfortunately, like, they show, and you already feel for her because she gets made fun of by her coworkers who are assholes.
Right. Her whole job is, I think, is like, she helps.
She's like customer service for other
I guess
deaf
people.
Customers. Yeah. And they're assholes to her too.
They treat her too. She has to flick them off.
So, and there's her mom, who's like the sweetest woman, like the sweetest little woman who she's picking up. And then there's also the sister and brother, which Tim said, the brother is this obviously overprotective, like former military guy, good looking buff guy. Yeah.
He was never shirtless. So thumbs down. Next.
Yes, but he had short shorts on. He did have short shorts on. And his sister is like kind of flirty. She's getting ready to go on a date. He's like, you better get home early.
Right, he's already overly protective of her outfit.
Yeah. So that's the whole setup. So the first thing that happens is that both the sister and the young deaf woman are out and in the same alley at the same time.
And which, by the way, the movie takes place in North Korea, right?
South Korea.
No, okay.
Big difference. I knew
I was on the right track.
I don't think they'd be able to film in North Korea.
And South Korea. And like, no, like, there's no one around.
Yeah. So one thing we noticed, and we weren't sure, obviously we can't speak out of knowledge from visiting South Korea.
We don't know if that was a movie choice.
But
or...
in all of the alleys and all of the areas in this film until the end when they go into like the town center are completely vacant. And I know it's something that we joke about.
Maybe
like,
it's because the movie's called Midnight. I don't
know. But here's the thing. It starts at like 10 p.m. Oh, people are out. And when you're in any city, even if it's a small town, there'll be a few people out,
yes.
Someone, and there's no one. I mean, for blocks, there's just no one around. So the killer, anyway, he first goes after the sister, and you basically see him, like, take her into his van, and you don't know what happened. You're assuming he murdered her.
So he throws her into an alley, and so the mother and the daughter are... she's parking because they're going to go get something to eat.
Yeah, and she ends up, like, hearing something. He's doing his famous, like, help me!
And she's like, oh, that's weird.
And then he throws the girl's high-heeled
shoes. No, it was the girl, remember?
Oh, it was her.
Yeah,
yes.
So she throws her shoe because she's hiding. And so the girl, and then he said from the car, he said, if you pick up that fucking shoe, I'm going to kill you.
Basically, yes, because the young girl, I don't want to call her the deaf girl, but I can't pronounce her name, and I hate saying it, so I'm just going to say the daughter. There's the brother and sister and the daughter and mom.
The mother, yeah.
So the daughter is, she goes and she finds the sister there, stabbed, and she's like, help me, or basically, and then... the killer comes, and I forgot exactly.
He has like
there's
an
like a
axe.
Struggle. Yes, there's like a struggle, and then he goes after running after the daughter because he realizes like she can't see what he's done and get away with it.
Right, and this scene goes on like it is a chase.
It's like through a parking garage. She's like getting into her car, and I will say there was a lot of good like
cat and mouse
chase scenes. There were a lot. Boy, yeah. Were there a lot of fucking chase scenes.
You know, they're so well done, and I think that's. Now that I've saw the whole movie, I could tell why this movie was made. I mean, like, because for these chase scenes.
Well, yes, there's a ton of chase scenes, and she's, like, getting in her car, and then she's able to, like...
This was really good.
The scariest scene is she gets in her car, and then who rises up in the back
seat?
He's
in the back seat, and then she has the brilliant idea to floor it, and then... throw on the brakes, and then he goes into the front seat, and she gets out. She
yes, and she's
him.
Always running. The one thing that's good about her, you know how you ever watch any horror movie, and like the victim just says, "No, no one doesn't move." This is the exact opposite. She is running.
She's running like no one's business.
This girl must have been working out daily because she can run, and so can he. He's chasing her. Everything. Well, finally, like, she gets to her mom and gets away from him, and she hasn't been able to see his face. So they, like, there's these, like, things in the middle of the road in, I don't know if, I would assume this is true in South Korea, where you can press a button and a light turns on and the police are instantly called.
So he goes into his van and he changes into, like, a suit and he changes his hair and he looks completely different and he's not wearing the medical mask.
Yes, and he comes back and pretends, so
like oh,
he's an innocent guy looking for his sister, a.k.a. the sister, the girl he had stabbed, and he's pretending like, oh, I can't find her, and he literally goes with them. The police come, goes with them to the police station, and little by little, the mom and the daughter are starting to notice weird things about him.
This strange man in the suit, I think he's the killer.
Yeah, like, they basically, it takes them a while, but they're starting to put it together, like, the mom especially
and
is just like...
He's getting pissed because they're signing to each other, and he's like, what are you saying?
Yes, he can't stand that they're talking about him, and the thing you learn about this killer is he does not like being made fun of.
No,
anytime
it's a
he
trigger.
Does, he's so insecure, it's a trigger, like anything like that. Well, the brother finally comes to the police station too and is like, I've been looking for my sister. They finally, the mother and daughter put it together that the guy pretending to be the nice guy actually is the killer who had stabbed the sister. But before they can warn the brother, the killer actually tries to stab him.
Because the two cops step outside for like a second to walk out the mother and daughter. And these two guys go at it. And I will say I was blown away by their fight scene because it was like, I think someone got hurt.
Well, it was also really cool to see it because this was the first, because the poor mother and the daughter's a very small woman and they're having problems fighting back against it. But when the brother comes and he's this big military guy and they are like fighting, but the cops come in and think that he is the one
killer. They find him in such a situation. He's got a knife to his neck. So they're like, okay, you're going to kill him. So we're going to, what's that called?
They tase the brother him. And they let the real killer go. And I think one of the most frustrating parts of this movie throughout is that it's so hard for the mother and daughter to communicate with anyone because nobody understands sign language and they are deaf and mute, so they can't speak.
Right.
And so they're trying to tell the cops, no, that's the killer, you're letting him get away, and they just cannot communicate to him.
No, it is like the biggest obstacle of this movie because like the movie would have been over in like 5 minutes, but...
Yeah, I mean, you mean if they were just like, oh, hey, there's the killer.
Yeah, the guy in the suit, he's the killer. The end. Yeah.
Well, but, like, then it kind of switches because you think the mother and daughter go home, but if we're watching at the police station, the killer had watched her fill out a police report where she put her address down.
So he literally made a mental note. So I was like, and it's weird because I was like, well, after that huge fight between the brother and the killer, the movie's over, right? And
yeah,
Matt's like, no, there's 40 more
minutes.
Yeah,
like, because there's so much had already happened that you're like, wow, that felt like a full movie. No, when the mother and daughter go home, he comes home, and there's a big scene at the home, which I thought was done well, because one thing that we haven't talked a lot about is there's a lot of devices that are used throughout this film that the deaf women use to, notify them if there's something that is making sound.
Right. If like there's a knock on the door, the light blinks.
They have a light that turns on and off. So something they can see visually that shows them something's making sound.
He comes to the house with a big axe.
But then he's also very sick because he loves playing around with it. Like the mother.
It's almost like he gets so excited because he's like, oh, this is going to be fun, these deaf girls.
And the funny thing is, if the killer just went and killed them right away, he wouldn't have had any problem. But because he loves this terrorizing aspect, that's what was his downfall.
Yeah.
Well, the mother goes outside with her sister and like goes down the road. So it's just the daughter in the house. And she is getting hunted by him in the house. When she finally realizes it, like he swings an axe and just misses her.
Yeah. And then she climbs out the window and he grabs her by her hair.
Yes. He is holding her by her hair, and I feel like hair would rip off with...
Well, she was holding onto his arm, but then he finally let go, and she landed on some garbage.
Oh, yeah, she lands on garbage, and then what proceeds after that is the longest chase scene I think I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. I was not expecting this, but it's like, she's running down the street, he's running down the street, then he... How does the brother
get
involved?
But they are running, just so people can visualize this, they are running at full speed. I'm talking... Olympic 100-meter dash speed.
It's actually amazing.
Running, running, running. And again, running from street to street to street, zero people.
So then she gets cornered, and then the killer and the brother are having this conversation like,
well,
hey.
Well, okay, so what happened was the brother, who's been still looking for his sister, stumbles upon the killer with the daughter there, and he's going to kill her. But then the killer says to the brother, like, I'll tell you where your sister is, but you got to leave and let me kill her. And the brother leaves and lets him.
That is the one flaw. I mean, this is actually the biggest flaw of the movie, because he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I trust the killer that my sister's still alive. Like,
and that's the thing. First off, never trust a killer. Secondly, never leave a defenseless person, because you don't know what's going to happen to your sister.
Deaf girl to defend himself, he
was very much like, I need to save my sister, not defending him, because he shouldn't have left her. But he leaves, and like the girl has like is fighting with him again.
She takes dirt and throws it in his eyes,
and then starts running again. And then I forget, I think, but before then, she gets to the town, is that when she finds the sister?
Yes,
been stabbed?
She actually does find his sister, and she is alive.
Yes, she's still alive. She had been stabbed, but she's alive, and she was able to give him, she gives her a phone to call the
right,
brother.
She pulls her to an alley, gives her a phone, and then she distracts the killer by making noise.
Yeah, so this daughter, the main girl
she's
of the movie,
everybody.
Exactly, is such a heroine, because she is risking it literally to distract the killer away from the girl who's already been stabbed. She takes him on again and gets him to chase
more
her.
Running.
Exactly, more running, so the sister can call her brother and get saved. And so now...
I have to
stop
you right here.
What?
Because I was so frustrated watching this movie, I was like, I already hate the brother, and the killer better not... Anyway,
yeah,
I was furious.
Well, this was one of the most heartbreaking parts, because then, finally, after running through town, through streets with zero people, she's able to run into, like, the town center, and suddenly it's hopping. There's people everywhere.
So she's holding a knife, like, oh my god, like, she's like, hey, that guy's trying to kill me.
She cannot get anyone to understand her, because remember,
she's
deaf
holding a knife,
and
she's
mute,
covered in blood.
And so she can't, they don't understand sign language, and she doesn't have her phone, so she can't put anything down, and she can't speak and really form the words well, so people think she's crazy. And then, yet again,
he tries to manipulate the situation, and he tells these three guards, he's like, hey, that's my sister.
Yeah, that's my sister, she's deaf, and she's just having like an episode or something, and they're believing him, and you're so frustrated this point.
And then she plops down after the policemen leave, or what are they, army guys?
Policemen, just security guards.
And so she gives this really long, so sad monologue about, like, God, do not kill me. I'd like to have a husband. I would like to have two children. Yeah, I want to
live. And again, she's saying this, like, and because she's mute, she can barely make out words, but she's making out enough words to tell him, like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And he basically just doesn't care. Takes her to an alley. We can hurry this. I mean, there's a big fight. The brother comes and is fighting him, but of course knocks him out, but doesn't leave him there. He gets away, and then he decides, you know what, he's going to go after her mother, who's in the town center.
Right, so then he's running toward, he's getting close to the mother.
Yes, and the young girl sees her mother there. She still has the knife. She runs toward him, and in a cool, like, twist.
This is a good twist.
You think that she runs up and stabs him because you just hear a knife go in, and they're looking at each other in the eyes. And he's like, what did you do? You missed, blah, blah, blah. And then you see she actually stabbed herself.
Then she backed up, but he's the one holding the knife, so all the people can see.
Exactly, that he did something. So what happened is, what I thought was brilliant, is that she realized there's no way she's going to be able to communicate to all these people that this guy's coming after, that he's a killer, blah, blah, blah. So she figures if she stabs herself and leaves the knife with him, everyone will see that and they'll finally know that he did something.
And he is pissed because everyone's like, oh my God, look what you did. And
everyone's
so
looking, and police are coming up, and he is so pissed at her that he starts, like, charging her, and then they start shooting him.
Finally. And it's so satisfying as a viewer. You're like, finally.
Because he was just wanted to kill her so bad, and they finally shoot him and kill him. And it's like, you finally, because you've been so frustrated that nobody can understand that she is the victim here, that she's being hunted. Like, it's just so heartbreaking.
I can say those last 30 minutes of the film, I was like, this is the most annoying.
Yes, Tim kept saying, like, this is so frustrating, but not in, like, a way like you didn't wanted them to, you were invested.
Yeah, I was invested because I wanted to see these two women succeed.
Exactly. Well, and then it switches to a really nice moment at the end where not only are the mother and daughter, like, they went on a trip together, but they're actually hanging out with the brother and sister. They're all best friends.
Right. They all hang out at the beach. They all look great.
And the brother and sister are now learning sign language. It's very sweet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, happy ending, thank God.
This is what I'll say is the biggest difference between Midnight and Morbius.
They both start with M.
M, yes. Yeah. No. The biggest difference is that exactly what I just said to you before. We were invested in the characters in Midnight, and in Morbius, I couldn't really give two shits who was doing what.
I just know that they're, like, huge movie stars, and you know what I mean?
But even if they're huge movie stars, if it's a really good plot that with really good character development, you'll be invested in the people. And, you know, it was kind of superhero-ish, it was chaotic, it was fast, and so we weren't as invested. Whereas Midnight, you really feel for these people.
Well, because they were, like, everyday people.
But either way,
I'm just saying, like, they're relatable. Like, I couldn't relate to a billionaire doctor.
Oh, you know what it's like to be deaf, Tim?
Well, I actually did, like, in the movie when they...
And live in South Korea?
Well, I don't know anything about South Korea, and I don't know anything about being deaf. But
you're like, I've taken the subway.
I was going to say, like, the couple times in the movie, they did make the movie go completely, like, no music, no, like, sound.
Yeah, yeah.
To put us in her shoes.
Yeah, so you can, like, feel what it was like being in that scene. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
terrifying.
So I was like, oh gosh, that would not be fun.
This is what I'll say about Midnight. I did like it. I liked it more than Morbius. I thought it was done really well. I could have done with about 20% less chase scenes. I just feel like there was so much running, and I think they could have used some of those scenes. I know I always say this, but because I love suspense, I think they could have used some of those scenes to build more suspense. Like the scene in the house when he's, like, hunting her down, like those scenes, I like those scenes, or the opening scene, because seeing them running full speed over and over and over again, was a lot.
Once they started running, I was like, oh, that was neat. And then they kept doing it. I was like, oh my gosh, this movie just loves running.
And you were like, are these, like, Olympic athletes? Like, the way they're running, it looks like they're Olympic.
The movie actually should have been called Running.
Running at Midnight.
Running at Midnight.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
it's like, because it was called Midnight, I thought the only tie was that I guess it took place around them, but, like, yes, there's so much running. I will say it was unique in that, not just because it was people that couldn't hear, because again, we've seen movies like that, but there were just so many different steps to it. Like, every time you thought it was done, something else happened. Every time you thought she got away, he showed up again, you know?
Well, there's one scene in particular where the killer, like, puts his head in a bucket for water, and, like, he gets up and he's like, look at me. I'm sexy.
Like, it's like randomly he just, like, puts water in his hair, like he needs to, like refresh his look.
Ready for my photo shoot?
He's like, yeah, hey, when I kill her now, I want to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just,
I was like, I don't know where that
No idea.
What's that about?
No idea. But like, you know, and again, the performances were good. It is just so you know, like it is all in subtitles because it is a South Korean film. So if you mind that, like, well, you know, then you're not going to get to see any foreign films, and that sucks because there's a lot of great foreign films. But it's I thought it was different and inventive.
And I really liked that ending.
I did like the happy ending. I mean, it wasn't, again, I felt like it was more like cat and mouse thriller. Like, it felt very much like, do you remember The Pelican Brief?
Roberts and Denzel Washington?
Do you remember how it was just, every scene is like them running away from people to them running away from, it felt a little like that. But there is the horror aspect because he's a serial killer. But there really aren't, is there only one kill at the beginning?
In The Pelican Brief?
No, in The Pelican Brief. in Midnight, because the four people survived.
Just the first girl in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Really, I mean, it's a serial killer.
I'm actually happy it didn't go in that direction because I don't want to just see some guy driving around in a van killing women.
But you will watch Jason Voorhees kill a million people.
Well, it's in the woods. It's more fun.
You're like totally different.
It's totally different.
No, I did like it that the four main people survive because you really do feel for them.
No, because the movie really set them up to, you love them.
Yeah, and especially like I thought, oh my God, I kept getting scared he was going to kill the poor little mom.
Oh my
I felt
gosh.
The most for because
I was
she was
like,
such a sweet woman.
I did not want the mom to die. I didn't want the main girl to die. I didn't want anyone to die.
No, I didn't want anyone to die. I kept thinking the military brother guy was going to die because he was so, he made a bad decision, but then he was very helpful and he was fighting and I was like, oh God, is he going to get killed? But no, all the people you want to live, which we just spoiled, but we do all the time. The killer gets killed, which is good.
Satisfying.
Yeah. And so it's a fun movie. It's fast paced, very fast paced.
And it stars Julia Roberts. It's called
The
Pelican Brief.
Not The Pelican Brief. No, it's fast paced. Again, a little too much chasing. And my biggest question is, why is nobody on the streets?
Right. Remind me not to go to South Korea at midnight.
I was just
going to
say, not in those parts of town. I love the town center. That looked hopping.
No, that did look good. I bet they had like a Friday.
It was really funny. Like, it's like so many people were there, but literally you go two blocks away and there's not a soul.
Right. I knew nothing about South Korea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
But I know a lot about Iceland.
Yeah, oh, you do.
Yeah,
you
I've
do.
Been there. Anyway, go on.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've been there.
But anyway, yeah, you can check out Midnight on Demand, and it's an interesting movie with a lot of chasing and some great characters. And Morbius, you know, like if you're into the Marvel thing.
It's playing everywhere.
Morbius is playing everywhere. You won't have any trouble finding that. But Morbius, like if you're into the Marvel superhero type thing, go see it. If you're looking for horror, nah. I guess not. Anyway, I think that's about it, Tim.
That's it, bitch.
That's it, bitch. How dare you? Just kidding. No. Anyway.
I don't know why I said that. You're not a bitch.
Oh, thanks, Tim. That's the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
Watch Come In.
Yes. Please check out Come In on YouTube and we'll talk with you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.